I will give you the honor because you are God.
Elion,
Adonai, El Shaddai, Rofeka, be glorified, be honored. Thank you for that first word. Thank you for the diverse ministrations. Thank you for the climate of your presence. And thank you for the climate of joy and ecstasy. We know our lives can never remain the same. Thank you because something is being bettered. Thank you for the climate of revival. Be glorified and be honored. In Jesus' precious name. Clap your hands, all ye people. And shout to the Lord in the voice of triumph. And please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him a shout of victory. Welcome you in the presence of the Lord tonight in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Subject tonight is racing and rising by grace. Dash, the impact of grace. This will be part one. Racing and rising by grace, and that is the impact of grace. What I'd like you to understand about this racing and rising, just picture the aircraft. How the aircraft races on the tarmac for a while and then suddenly takes off. That grace will make you to run, and grace will practically take you up in the air. That is practically what this is about. But now we're about to see the impact of grace, and our objective is twofold. First is understanding the impact of grace. Okay, it's one. Understanding the impact of grace, that is, what makes grace to cause men to run and to rise in life? What is it about grace? What does grace do for us that makes a person to run and to rise in life? It is important by way of introduction to know that grace is what differentiates people in the kingdom. One man and the other. One man of God and another man of God. One woman of God, another woman of God. One child of God and the other. Grace differentiates and distinguishes people in the kingdom. Now, don't misunderstand this. The general grace of salvation is the same for all. The same grace, that general grace is the same for all. But functional grace differs because grace is in levels. The Bible makes it clear in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, 2 Peter 3, 18 rather. He said, but grow in grace. If grace grows, it means grace is in levels. And so we operate at different levels of grace. And so if our grace is not at the same level, our experiences can't be the same. In the world of Jonah, grace demarcated Noah from the people of his generation. In Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 8, the Bible speaking concerning the world and how the world was going in a very dangerous direction. It said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that grace made the world of difference. In the life of Paul the Apostle was the late comer among the apostles, but grace differentiated him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, where we read now, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but because the grace of God was with me. Any difference you see between me and Peter was because of grace. Any difference you see between me and James or John was because of grace. I am here anointed tonight
tonight to announce to somebody, grace is about to demarcate your life and your ministry and your destiny and your assignment. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. I said grace is about to demarcate your life and your assignment and your ministry and your business. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen.
What does grace do? What is the impact of grace that makes people to literally run and literally rise in life? I have 10 of them for this part. I don't know if I can finish all of them, but I'll try as fast as I can. Number one, grace makes great. Greatness happens at the frequency of grace. It is not possible for one to be a carrier of grace and be little. We saw the life of Noah who found grace in Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. This man became the progenitor of the ancient world. In Genesis chapter 9 and in verse 19, he talked about the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. By these three people, the whole world overspread from grace. I am sure you understand that Noah is the father of the whole world. The first world of Adam perished with the flood. Anybody you see in this earth today came out of Noah. Can you beat that? The Hamites, Ham, is the father of everybody that has dark skin. The Shemites is the father of everyone that is in the Middle East kind of people. The Israelis and the Middle. Japheth is the father of the light-skinned people of Europe and so on, and Australia and so on. Everybody that is in the world today is either from Ham or from Shem or from Japheth. What was it that made that man so great? It was grace. You look at the life of Paul the Apostle, and all you see was greatness. Paul the Apostle was the apostle that did, only him did what the 11 apostles put together didn't do. Grace. It makes great. Anybody seated here tonight, from any family or community where there is a limitation on size, I announce to you today, grace shall explode your life. Grace shall enlarge your life. Grace shall increase your life. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Number two, grace is key to speed. Woo! The level of grace you carry determines the extent of the race you run. Grace is G race. It means go and race. Hey! That is why I prophesy tonight that everyone that has been crawling, after this conference, your life shall run. Your destiny shall pick race. Your business shall pick race. If you are a believer, shout the loudest amen. I met a man some years ago. After the last time I met him, his business was in one state of the country. He was doing well. He was already in millions, doing well in one state of the country. After impartation of grace, and with prophetic utterance that says, you are about to shift beyond this boundary. They will look for you in Nigeria and look for you in nations. You know what happened to him? Today, He has businesses in 34 states out of 36 in this country. Minus two. He has what? The last time he met me, he said, pray for me. I am overwhelmed. They said the pressure is too much. I have to supervise everything everywhere. I said, you need men to assist you. Say, help me with men. He says, sir, it is grace. It's real. I've seen, I knew him when he was in one location. And I'm now aware of him in 30-something locations within the country. The way people have bicycle, that is the way he has bulldozers. Excavate anything. Hundreds of it. Earth moving machines are just like the way you have bicycle park. Get ready. If you give him a job of 100 billion today, he will start the job. He doesn't need mobilization, either from the bank or from who gave him the job. Level. Hey! Is there, now, in a short while from now, somebody here, it is your story that shall be told like this. That amen can be better. If you are saying amen, shout it like a believer. It is the secret of the race. Look at your neighbor, say, you carry grace. Go and race. Grace. That was what Paul the Apostle told us when he said, literally, I overtook all of them. I came late, but I labored more than all of them. When Jesus was on the earth, I wasn't there. I wasn't with them. I was still in the beer parlor. I was still persecuting the church. I had no business with him. But I am now the one explaining to them what happened at the cross. I am now explaining the crucifixion, explaining the resurrection, explaining redemption. You won't hear much about redemption when you read from Peter or James. If you want to know what happened at the cross, what happened in the grave, what happened in the lower part of the earth, what happened when Christ resurrected, find out from Paul, who was not there. But he got light by grace. And that grace gave him speed. Don't over-celebrate longevity. Celebrate grace. Don't over-celebrate age. Age at anything. Celebrate grace. I'm telling you, celebrate grace. Somebody say loud amen. I see grace about to put someone on a lane of your own. A lane of your own. When you are just on your own lane, you are not in a race with nobody, because none can successfully race with you. Grace puts you on a lane. I see somebody on a lane by himself, a lane by himself, a lane by herself, a lane of grace. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat, let's go and let's see how fast we'll go with this subject tonight. Number three, grace brings ease. Grace is the grease for ease. I did did so much, but it wasn't me doing it. It was the grace of grace. Still, 1 Corinthians 15:10. What is difficult for others is easy where there is grace. What is difficult for others is easy where there is grace. Grace makes you to do so many things effortlessly, while there are people doing one thing laboriously. Effortless. Someone asked me some time ago, he said, you are preaching all the time, especially crusades and all that. What preparation time do you have in between the crusades to be able to see all the things you are seeing? I said, the crusade is, the preparation is crusade is preparation. Everything is together. There is no separate time anymore, but the summary of it all is grace. One other one, big, popular person you know, and if I mention the name, you will know, and he now asked me, he said, in ministry, he said, tell me what to do before you go for crusades. I say, I pray and I fast. He said, pray like how long? Fast like how many days? It varies. I just pray, but it's a long process, just continuous process. See, and the miracles and things happen. See, is it that thing you play that is a secret? That thing. I say, no, that thing is that thing. No, it's not that thing. It's that thing is part of the worship atmosphere. There are times you don't have the time to play that thing. If it was left for that thing, many people would not be in ministry. Am I communicating at all? Grace is key to ease. What others struggle to do, you do it like you are drinking water. People, get ready. Because what was difficult for you before you came here to this conference is about to become a walkover.
You believe it? Shout the loudest, amen. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. You know what he said in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 7? Zechariah chapter 4 verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That is, even if it is a mountain, grace will make it easy.
Grace will make it easy. Grace will make you preach, organize crusades like you are preaching in a classroom, just effortlessly. And then the crusades are happening all the time. Souls are saved en masse, and you are not taking any offering. Zero offering. At the crusade, zero offering. Millions spent for light. Spend for sound, spend for stage, spend for venue, spend for logistics, spend for flying, spend for returning. And you are not under pressure. And you are not, even in the church, you are not begging offering.
People, we are going for another crusade again. Won't you help us? Otherwise we stop. For where?
Is. In the middle of that, churches have been planted. There are some of our location, four churches at once they are planting on a continuous monthly basis. And you are coming to preach in church on Sunday morning, and you are not repeating any message for 25 years. See, this one tomorrow. Let me just rebrand the other message. Let me brush it up and come for where.
Even in 3 services on Sunday morning, you can't preach the same message. But personally, it used to tire me if I want to preach one twice.
Did you see the paradox? It should be easy for you, but it's tiring you that you want to say the same thing again.
I am not saying this to impress you. I am saying this to show you are about to run. You are about to run. On your marks, get set, race. Hey! 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 Hey!
Ay, 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 ay.
Somebody is about to do a construction and you shall race in that construction. Before people know it, the building is completed. They will be wondering, when did it start? And it's already completed. Shout grace! This house is just growing. Are there angels? How did this house grow overnight? Somebody scream grace! And that is the year. That is what our year is all about. And everybody here connected, associated, related with this commission. Even though you have your ministry's year's team, this team is connected to you. The theme of here is over you. I prophesy to you, overflowing grace, overflowing glory shall be your portion. Grace shall overflow. Glory shall overflow. Shout grace!
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord and let's see how we can race by grace to the end of the message.
Grace brings ease. Number 4.
Grace is key to gifts. Gifts is a product of grace. When the grace is big, the gifts are multiple.
Giftings, endowments, potentials are a function of grace.
Who is Paul the apostle? Paul was the apostle. Who was the prophet? Who was the evangelist? Who was the pastor? Who was the teacher?
There was nobody in Paul's realm that was more apostolic than Paul. He planted churches, established order. There was nobody in Paul's time that was more prophetic than Paul. He perceived in his spirit and he said, this girl is possessed by this spirit of divination. There was nobody in Paul's time that is more evangelistic than Paul. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. His own miracle where handkerchiefs left his body to heal the sick. There was nobody in Paul's time that was more pastoral than Paul. My heart's longing is for the church. Nobody had more teaching grace.
Insight so tough that Peter found it hard to comprehend. One man. In our generation today, if you are excelling in more than one thing, people want to kill you. Leave our field for us. Leave our realm for us. Who say? If God put it in me, I must push it out. Because I'm not accountable to you, but to God. Paul was the one who had the gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. Interpretation of tongues, diversities of tongues, prophecy, healing, working of miracle, miracle working faith. He could only tell us about it because he operated it. He knew it. He walked in the realm of it. One Paul. Gifts. They are the product of grace. Don't ever compete with a man that is engraced. Except you carry the same grace. Or you apply for the same. Or you connect with the same. Or you partake in the same. Because Paul the Apostle said we can be partakers of grace. Sir, it's just, let's say somebody wants to compete with God, someone Bishop David Oyedepo. How? Ten 10,000 churches planted in 1 year. You won't die. One university is running like nursery school. Second university is running like nursery school. And he is threatening a third or fourth university. Oh yes. That is a realm of grace that is a lane of his own. Only thing you can do is to learn from him. Connect with his grace. And let it flow and add to the one you have. Somebody say loud amen. If God didn't call you to build university, it's the university that will build you. Are you trying to build? University build you. That is your life scattered because of vision. Pastor George, I went to dedicate their hospital in Port Harcourt. He has a passion. If God didn't call you to build hospital, you will be the first patient they will admit. The first one. The hospital has finished, but the man has stroke. Because he has been thinking on how to pay doctor's salary. Patient number one. Somebody shout grace. By this preaching tonight, every gift inside you is exploding out right now. Every deposit of heaven in your life is coming out right now. Somebody shout grace. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 10 tells us about that. 1 Peter chapter 10, 4 and in verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So you see the connection between the gift and the grace. That the grace connects the gift. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 3 and 6. Romans 12 and in verse 3 and 6. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 6, he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the profession of faith. So gifts differ according to grace. God gives grace and the grace releases the gifts. I announce to someone here today, the grace, the giftings you are trusting God for, that is necessary for your assignment and necessary for your destiny. The grace to push them out is released now. The grace to push those gifts out is released now. You believe it? Say it loud, amen. Number 5, grace gives voice. The grace of God gives a man a generational voice. It gives you voice. You have what to say by grace, and you are given the voice to say it. Grace gives you access to light, and grace gives you the voice to communicate that light. Voice. That is, your generation is compelled to hear what you have to say because of grace. In Ephesians chapter 3
And in verse 8 and in verse 9, Paul the apostle said unto me, who I am less than the least of all sins, is this grace given that I should preach? Grace is giving me to talk, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Grace causes us to speak. You are able to speak and you are heard. It is not everybody who is speaking that people are hearing. Am I communicating? First of all, most people want to say something, as our robot said, but not everybody has what to say. Not everybody. And then there are people speaking, but nobody is hearing. One of the pastors here testified some time ago how that he said he saw an encounter where I came into their ministry, and all the microphones, the speakers, everything was disconnected. Another one said the other day how microphone in the physical in the church, he had an encounter in the dream where those microphones were in his village, the ones that are in church physically, in the kitchen inside pot of his they are cooking his voice inside the pot of a wizard in his village. Can you see African technology? Physical microphone that is in church that you can see on the altar, they are there physically, but they are inside pot in the realm of the spirit, in the village. And appeared and refunded the microphone. Am I communicating? Anywhere they have taken your voice, that voice is being released now. The woman testified from the Buhari church how that the child in the womb died and stopped moving, died 3 days, went to give birth, and the child couldn't come out. And then they began to play the tongues of fire. And when the tongues of fire was playing, child came out, but came out dead. And they continued playing the tongues of fire, where Dr. Mr. Nenche said in that particular tongues of fire, who said that your voice will not be heard? And the baby said, my voice must be heard. My voice must be heard. I repeat that again. Who said that your voice shall not be heard? In the name of Jesus, in your family, in your community, in your generation, in the city where you are, your voice shall be heard. You know, the devil is a bastard. That's a bastard. Please, pastors, don't relax. So I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. Some people were in my office last week to present something. They live in Abuja here. And they are not aware of this place. Yes. Yes. The place is, there's a place like this. Oh yes, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are blind, whom the God of this world has blinded. Yes. That is what I'm saying. Even if you are blind on your way to the airport, you may feel something. It's not aware. They are not aware. Not aware. They came for something else. I'm telling you the truth. That is how Yeshua the devil is. It doesn't matter how big the vision is. The devil is not intimidated as long as he makes it invisible. That is why we must wear out the devil. And you must wear out the devil in restlessness of... Jonathan Edwards said, I have something to say and you must hear me. That is how he starts preaching. I must be heard. I force you to hear me. That's the guy there. He preached sinners in the hands of the angry God.
message that created impact for 100 years. Every time the message was played, people cried afresh. I have something to say and I must be heard. That is here. How many of you must be heard? Your generation must be aware that you exist. Must be aware that you are there. Must be aware that you are doing something and saying something. In the name of Jesus, every blindness regarding your assignment, I declare it is over. In the name of Jesus, it is over. I prophesy to you today, every devil that says your voice should not be heard, whatever be your assignment, that devil is arrested right now, and your voice shall be heard. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the believers amen. Give him the praise as you take your seat. I better round off now. Grace gives you the voice. Number six, grace gives strength. Strength. Unbeatable strength. We are reading all of this from Paul the Apostle's statement. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace that I carry. Grace is a major secret of unbeatable strength. Call it superhuman energy. Superhuman energy. Extranatural stamina. Extranatural. You achieve more in a day than some will achieve in a week on the grounds of energy. One day after a night vigil, it was in the real one, I felt so energized, like I can preach for the next 6 hours. I told my wife. She said, go ahead. Let us normal human beings go and sleep. I said, what are you talking about? You mean I am not normal? But that is what grace does for you. Catherine Kuhlman on her feet for 6-7 hours. Or a robot laying hands on 10,000 heads one by one. Thousand, 15,000, 20,000, line up, receive, power, blind eye open, deaf ear open, crippled legs walking. 10,000, our generation, we are too weak. Preach for 3 minutes, drink water. Somebody shout hallelujah, praise God. And in some places it's even worse. Some places it's five alive and ever Jews and what do you call it? The congregation is salivating. Praise God. Say, Pastor, this is not fair. Why are you oppressing us? Except to share the drink. Share it to all of us. You follow what I say? I just came back from holidays in Los Angeles. Vacation. I had preached so much for the last 3 months that I needed to take 4 weeks holiday. I passed through Dubai on my way and just went through Paris, and then I decided to go through Tel Aviv in Israel. And yeah, praise God. Amen. We don't know what grace is all about. Billy Graham preached every night for 88 days in Wembley Stadium in the 88 days, 2 days shy of 3 months. Every day preaching, until Wembley Stadium became the overflow.
That is extra crown.
That is in the year of 1968. Not today. I wonder how many people have been born in that year here. Hallelujah. Extra. So when people say, you are walking too much, what are you talking about? We have not even neared the work of those ancient people.
If it was them, the way we went to Jalingo, we would remain there for 1 month. Every night, until the whole city becomes a crusade ground. You went to Cameroon and stayed there for 4 weeks. Oral Roberts was in Madison Square Garden for about 6 weeks. Everyday crusade. Strength. And you know, energy sustains destiny. No. Nobody can fulfill destiny in weakness. They that be weak, they that know their God shall be weak and do exploits. Exploits does not belong to the weak. Weakness excuses you from the realm of exploits. Easy tiredness. Yawning in the morning. What did you do in the night? I've been in prayer meetings before where almost after every 5 minutes is somebody yawning. If you give them a yawnometer to measure the frequency of the yawning, you will be shocked at how frequent they were yawning. Even faster than how Peter was denying Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I like you to know that success is a product of strength. Lazy people can never be successful. The hand of the diligent make it rich. Look at this. In the book of Proverbs, I believe chapter 10 and verse 16. Let's see. I'm looking for something. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. So there is a connection between wealth and strength. Now look at 11:16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men conquer riches. Strong. Strong in heart, strong in mind, strong physically. My father was physically very, very strong. You can gather your two hands in one hand and hold it. You can't move. Now, he said in those days when he traveled, he used to go to Onisha to buy things and sell and trade. He said, thief doesn't steal from him. He will fight it out. Deal with you and go with his team. Can't. Physically strong and audacious. And he conquered a lot of wealth very early. 50-something years ago, brand new Mercedes is what they bought. Whether it was what they call 911 or the Mercedes, whichever one was brand new. In those days, if the engine knocks, they don't repair, they bought another engine. They will buy another one. Am I communicating? And if you go to most places, the people who are the strugglers are also the most lazy people. Somebody say amen. Archbishop Benson Dahosa told the story of one lazy pastor in his days. His congregation people that used to wake him up in the morning to knock on the door to say, Pastor, wake up.
Day has broken. You know, oversleep is like rehearsing to die. It's like rehearsing to die. Because when somebody died, they say you have slept in the Lord. It's permanent sleep. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Anybody who is a victim of weakness, tonight it expires forever. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. I prophesy strength. I prophesy energy. I prophesy resilience. The energy you need to fulfill your destiny is released upon you now. If my father in the Lord calls me by 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., that is normal. The other day, Bishop Abiy was calling me around 1 a.m. And then I saw the call around 2 a.m. I called him back, he picked. It's very normal. And he are going for prayer meeting for 6 a.m. Very normal. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Lift up your right hand. I prophesy to you today. Fresh energy, fresh fire, fresh grace is coming upon you right now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Maybe I will speak the others tomorrow, but let me take the final one. Grace gives us the capacity to stand. Grace gives people the capacity to stand. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 2. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access into this grace wherein we stand. We have the capacity to stand by grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12. He said by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. There are many flat on the floor for bankruptcy of grace. Life can be grounded, knocked down, where grace is absent. Am I communicating at all? Stand against what? To stand against unrighteousness. Iniquity, for example, want to floor your life. Grace causes you to stand. Stand against evil. Generational evil. Can I ask a question? Why is it that nobody is talking concerning the evils of this country? Where are the people? Eh? Shh. Somebody was burnt the other day. Who said anything? Any other thing that borders on malice and envy, they will talk. The reason why talkers are few is because carriers of grace are in short supply. Papa Yereto will roar like a lion from where he is, like grace by grace. God grants us the grace to roar. And our own roaring is roaring from the center. It takes grace to stand where others fear, where they quake. It takes grace to be on your feet when others are on the ground. It takes grace to be a man when men have already turned into, let me not say women, because there are women that are stronger than men. When men have turned into water, vegetable. You know, during the war in, was it Kobani that was the name of that place in Syria? Can somebody help me out? During that war, the terrorist war in, I think it was Syria. No. Yes. Where the terrorists captured a city. The city of Kobani, it was on CNN. Yes. It was Syria. It was women that came out with AK. Defended their city. And if you ask people, women snipers can be very deadly. On the airport road here, a woman soldier, they mounted a checkpoint, asked the taxi driver to stop. The man refused to stop and drove off. She had her gun at her back. Something stopped the man in the front there. So she ran on foot and pulled the taxi driver out. When he laid hands on him, the man spawned and then found himself on the ground. On that. He said the man fell under the anointing. Because it was a laying on hand. In fact, he fell under the anointing. The anointing. Not the anointing, the anointing. Praise the Lord. That was when he realized that there is no man or woman in the training. Hallelujah. It takes grace to stand against the storms of life. Am I communicating? When people say, I am tired. What is this life for? No. Many people did not see 1/10 of what Paul the Apostle saw, and they committed suicide. Aleppo, right? They just showed it, right? That's right. Yes, that's right. That place. Paul the Apostle. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Maybe we'll read all the way to verse 39. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Can you start from verse 37 in the New Living Translation or the Living Bible? See how he puts it. The New Living Translation. See, but despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. Overwhelming victory. Overwhelming victory. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. Angels won't and the powers of hell itself can't keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated
by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. Somebody say nothing. That was grace speaking. In 2 Corinthians 11:22, and I'll round off there. 11:22 to 29, Paul the Apostle speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please do that fast. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In debts of... That's, I came face to face with death many times. Of the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes except one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. In journeys often. Danger of waters. Peril means danger. In danger of robbers. So robbers have been on since then. Danger by my own countrymen. That is people you thought were your relations. Danger by the heathen. Danger in the city. Danger in the wilderness. Danger in the sea. In danger among brethren that are fake. I thought they were Christians. I didn't know that they were wicked. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. I went through all of these. Beside these things, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I passed through all these things, but after it has all been said and done, I am standing by grace. I announce to somebody here, the devil will not wear you out. Stand on your feet if you are saying amen. The devil cannot wear you out. You are the one that will wear the devil out. If you are saying amen, shout the louder believers, amen. Say after me, say, I can't give up. I can't give in. I can't give way. I can't give out. I can't give up. I can't give in. I can't give way. I can't give out. I stand by grace. See, after me, nothing will shift me from my feet. I am on my feet. Listen. We are the generation that will persecute the devil. I will say some things more in the course of this services before we are through. We are the generation that will show the devil the road to hell. Jesus is coming for a church that will be raptured in a blaze of glory, a blaze of power, a blaze of dominion. I'm aware that you know that there is an antichrist culture in the world today. It's everywhere. It's on the internet. Everywhere, especially in the media, social media. Antichrist is an official culture. And their aim is like demystify God. Just prove that there is nothing about, no big deal about God. Demystify church, demystify pastors. It's nothing. They are not different from us. Just no big deal. You hear them telling you, why are you trying to worship pastors, worship churches? They are not different from us. It's an antichrist culture. Anything that borders on church, they pick it with a frenzy that borders on insanity. Are you hearing? Because the church is sleeping. And there are some naive church people making comments on antichrist matters. Not knowing that this is an agenda from the pit of hell. It's a move. Am I communicating at all? The agenda is, let nobody believe in God or believe in church or believe in anything. Just stay at home. Just face yourself. That devil is a bastard liar. And this is the time to rise up to the devil. That
in fact, as long as we are on the earth, you cannot control any space. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It is an official demonic culture. An official demonic culture. They are running with it. Those that are agents of the devil who are in that, they are aware of what they are doing. So they put forth something and church people are putting mouth. Helping the devil to fulfill his agenda. That devil is a loser. We are the generation that will show the devil the road back to hell. He said, I will build my church on the gates of hell. They get one word concerning the body of Christ. There is nothing like, let's find out from the body of Christ. What is the situation? The Bible says, whoso judgeth a matter before he heareth it is a fool. Right? It's a total fool. No, they are not interested. The interest is not, they don't have such an interest. No. These are, church is not a way to go. For as far as they are concerned, church is a place where people are making money. Now, they can be imagining that this kind of a place, how much money they will be making there. And how much they must be stealing there. Because if they are the ones over this kind of place, the level of stealing and the level of financial mis, whatever they will do with the money, is what they imagine that anybody who is having such a privilege will do. You know Judas Iscariot? When somebody gave an offering, Judas said, why is such a waste of money? The Bible says it's not because that this thing should have been sold and given to the poor. Is that familiar online? Is that familiar in our generation today? Why should a church like this be built? Why don't they build factory to give people job? He says Judas did not say that because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So he wanted them to bring the money so he can steal it. Those who said the poor should be helped and the jobs and all that should be done for the church. Yes, church will do that. But those who say that, and church has been doing that. But the question is, those who say it, have they helped one ant? That is, laying the example of what they ask people to do. But the church is winning. Lucifer, the father of demons, couldn't stop the church. Their demoness are too tiny. That is, if it is an ambition from hell, they stop the church. The devil himself can't. He can't dare. If we and Satan stand face to face now, he will sink into hell. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, I am winning. We are winning. Say, the church is marching on, and the gates of hell cannot prevail, shall not prevail. Say, the church is marching on, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Say, my life is marching on, and hell cannot stop me. All I want you to do is just 2 minutes praying tonight. Father, I apply for the grace to race and rise. I apply for the grace to race and rise. I apply for the grace to race and rise. Before we do that, lift your voice and thank God for the message you heard first. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father. Thank you. Say it loud and say, Father, thank you for your word to me tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness and your mercies. Be glorified in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and lift your voice and speak to God. Jesus' name. The headquarter of grace is called the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may apply and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of grace. Father, I have come before your throne tonight. I apply for the grace. We will not have the time to go over the 7 points here. All right, let's do that quickly. Place it on the screen first. Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I come to the throne of grace, and I apply for the grace for greatness. I apply for the grace for speed. I apply for the grace for ease. I apply for the grace for giftings and my potentials. I apply for the grace to have a voice to speak to my generation. I apply for the grace for strength, unusual energy. I apply for the grace to stand against evil, against darkness, against the forces of hell. I receive that grace now. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. I receive that grace. 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 I receive 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 grace. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. You are here tonight. We are going to ask for grace now to come upon us physically. You are here tonight. You have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ. You are not yet saved. We are saved by grace through faith. I'd like you to pick your Bibles and your bags and quickly step to the front here and let us receive you. Quickly, at the count of 7, I want you to be the first. And then somebody get your expectation form if you have it up, as well as get set to receive fresh grace impartation. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and quickly race to the front and let us receive you. You are in need of surrender to Jesus. I give you the count of 7 and quickly rush forward. 1.
Lord, I give you my heart.
2.
Heal my soul.
3.
I live for you, oh Lord. Every breath that I take.
And 4.
The moment I'm away.
The power exit of praise. Don't go when you are about to receive an impartation. It's not wisdom. God bless you. Quickly, place your right hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus. Those coming, quickly step forward. And ushers, please, when it is close to time for closure, don't allow the movement to distract us towards the end. Place your hands on your chest and say, Father. All right, quickly rush forward here. You want to rededicate yourself to God also, step forward. You've given your life to Christ before, but you fell back into the world and fell back into sin. Quickly rush forward here and let us pray with you. And place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me. Say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Help me to live for you, and help me to do your will. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.